不是元邦、
Can we start with our meeting just to indicate I think our stakeholders will realize that this is not yet a full complement of our committee. We are hoping that all members of the opposition parties will join so that the committee is in its full complement. Currently, we do not see other members from the other parties, but I can safely say that this is a well-scheduled meeting to consider an important subject on municipal infrastructure grant monitoring. So this is a follow-up meeting with regard to our municipal infrastructure grant over the past 5 years. After the briefing by National Treasury earlier this year, the committee concluded its report with recommendations to improve on MIG spending by municipalities. So we all know that the important role that the municipal infrastructure grant plays in municipalities, particularly to support the provision of basic services such as water, road infrastructure, sanitation, and many other facilities which constitute part of productive assets in communities. So just to restate that the grant contributes to outcome 9 of the medium-term strategic framework. So it has also informed us in terms of who we must invite for today. So we have convened this meeting to engage stakeholders. We have extended invitation to Department of Monitoring and Evaluation so that on an ongoing basis can be part of these joint reflections. And then we have National Treasury. All of us know that National Treasury constitutes the backbone of the functioning of Appropriations and Finance Committee. As also National Treasury is enjoined by the Constitution to play this important oversight over government departments. COGTA, MISA, FFC, and SALGA, so that we evaluate the role in terms of strengthening the cooperative governance and intergovernmental relations in support to municipalities. So we always want to locate our role as NCOP, that we meet these stakeholders, of course, in order to strengthen our input so that in our relationship with all these spheres of governance, there's clarity on what issues should be addressed. We'll therefore expect specific stakeholders to respond to some of the recommendations with regard to strengthening of the MIG spending and to avoid unnecessary rollovers. So, welcomed members to this meeting, and as I have indicated in my opening remarks, the agenda is straightforward. We'll have the presentation by National Treasury, we'll have the Department of COGTA, and also we'll ask FFC to respond, to just share in their input. And after the deliberations, the committee at this stage will conclude by adopting minutes of the previous meeting. So any apology that we received for this meeting? Well, let me say beforehand, I have received an apology from the Minister of COGTA. It has been indicated that the minister is still held up in another engagement. He would have wanted to come here, Minister Des Van Rooyen, and that is in order. Thanks.
Excuse me. Thank you, Chairperson. With respect to honourable members of the committee, we did not receive any apologies, Chairperson. Regarding the invited stakeholders, there is a formal apology from the FFC with respect to the commissioners who have prior engagement. However, the secretary of the commission is present, leading the delegation here. I'm sure she will also table it formally in the meeting today. But I wanted to indicate that beforehand. Thank you so much.
Committee secretary, the whip of the committee, honourable whip, do you want to say anything?
No, chair, I have not received any apologies.
No, thanks very much. Then let's proceed through the agenda. I take it, members, we agree with the agenda. Honourable Nzimande, we agree with the agenda. Eh? Thank you very much. So, so let's invite National Treasury. Do we start with National Treasury or with COCTA today? National Treasury, you can indicate. We start with you or COCTA?
I've decided that I should overrule National Treasury because it's only one person. So even if we go for a vote, he will be outvoted.
Yeah, that's a good one. So National Treasury, do you agree that COCTA should start or you want to start? Just open the discussion there. No, you are saying everything is fine, so I don't know which one.
Thanks, Honorable Chairperson. I think it's fine. For us, this is a follow-up on the presentation I made in May. So,
so COCTA, we want to give you sufficient time.
Thank you, Chairperson, Honorable Chair.
Please introduce your delegation and whether stakeholders are supporting COCTA.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I just want to introduce the delegation from COCTA. The presenter is Timothy Siroka, who is the Chief Director responsible for the Municipal Infrastructure Grant Coordination. And I've got Ntanda Zovimba, who is the Executive Manager in the Municipal Infrastructure Support Agency. And on his right, I've got Temba Dladla, who is the Acting CEO of MISA. At the back, I've got Mr. Ntlemeza, who is attached to our office here in Cape Town. Next to him is Gigi Gosnell. She's in the office of the Director General in the Department of Cooperative Governance. And behind me is Verna Ehrenrich, who is the senior manager responsible for MIG policy. I'm missing one person. I think he might be lost somewhere in Parliament. He's our parliamentary officer. My name is Mtoto Sigidi. I'm also acting director general in the Department of Cooperative Governance. Perhaps you might be aware, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, that the Director General was transferred to the Department of Justice, and the CEO of MISA has joined the Joburg Road Agency as the CEO there. So without perhaps wasting a lot of time, I will invite Timothy to take us through the presentation. And the presentation will just cover the issues that the committee requested. So it will have three sections that we'll deal with. It will be the expenditure performance of the grant in 2015-16, and then the monitoring thereof, and then the mitigation of challenges experienced in the program. But we will also touch a little bit in terms of comparative analysis of the past 5 years. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Timothy. Welcome, honorable members. You can proceed, Timothy. We have just starting with the first presentation. Thanks.
Thanks so much, Honorable Chair and DDG. I'm acting DG. DG has already introduced the issues for discussions. It is in the main in three portions. I will start with the expenditure performance of the program. This is typical of what has already been presented to the committee by Treasury previously, and I may not necessarily dwell so much into it, just to give a background in terms of how the program has been performing. This is the expenditure as at the end of June this year. Safe to say the overall expenditure per province, as shown in the percentage at the end of the financial year, and that in overall we have spent 92% of the 14.9 billion. And this indicates a 3% improvement in comparison to the previous financial year, which was 89%. And we had provinces like KZN that has achieved 98% of their 3.4, which is the highest, and the lowest being Limpopo at 79%. And municipalities, as a norm, they will then have to justify their rollover as we move forward. This is just to indicate the expenditures that I've already outlined, and the cycled are the ones that have performed very low. And this is what has moved us to deal with the issue of stopping processes at the end of March. In that, we looked at the Northwest municipality that has lost 83 million in total. They continue not to spend that amount, and the balance of 238 million was unspent at the end of June. The Limpopo municipalities lost 88 million in total through the stopping process, and by the end of June, 638 million was not spent. Municipalities in KwaZulu-Natal gained 69. You realize KZN is the municipality that has spent more, and by the end of close of books, 60 million was unspent. This just to indicate the comparative expenditures since the inception of the grant, which indicated the 3% that I've alluded to in terms of 92%. And in overall, average is 89% to date since the inception of the program. This just to indicate, illustrate graphically the figures that we are talking about. Which line graph indicating that there was a downward graph and it started to go up, and that is improvement in terms of the expenditures. When we analyze the expenditure in terms of 5 years for the past 10 years, we realize that there was an average expenditure of 94% in the first 5 years of the inception of the grant, and that declined to 85% in the subsequent 5 years, which is 2010 to 2015. But then we have since seen the increase of 92%, which is an improvement of 3%, as I've alluded on earlier on. But the overall analysis is that while there was a trend during the 5 years period of a decline, seven provinces have since improved in 2015-2016 financial year, which is what has made the 92%. What caused this improvement? And that also covers some of the issues around mitigation to ensure that there are no rollovers. Is that we have engaged into various remedial actions as the department. and that included the expansion of monitoring capacity through in-house resources, but also through MISA collaboration and also sector departments and the provinces. So that has started to yield some positive fruits. And this is just to indicate what I was talking to in a tabular form and also graphically. So the subsequent section now is to deal with monitoring. I won't go into details on this because this has been input that has been given already in May by National Treasury. It's just to tail up the background. Safe to say, the mentioned unspent funds are informed by unspent funds reported by us as the transferring officer at the end of the municipal financial year and quarterly publications by National Treasury in Section 71 of the Municipal Finance Management Act and pre- and audited financial statement by municipalities. And that outlines what is required in terms of the Act, how to deal with the rollovers wherein municipalities apply and there is a process for evaluating that. I won't really go into details with this because it's a very historical and background in terms of legislation. And this was presented previously by National Treasury. The same as this slide has already been presented. I'll then zoom straight into the monitoring of expenditure. In the Division of Revenue Act, it is stipulated how the transferring officer will be responsible for monitoring of the expenditure on the approved rollovers. This requires the reporting on allocation from the relevant municipality in the particular financial year. However, monitoring of this expenditure on all projects, including the proposed rollover projects by the transferring officer, it's been done through the assistance of the provincial MIG units, as I've already alluded, that we have expanded our capacity through various organs of state, including our counterparts in the provinces. And once these rollover projects have been approved, they are then included in the monthly DOR expenditure report, which only allows against the current year allocation. DCOG has been requesting, and this is an interaction that we're having with Treasury, to provide the necessary guidance which will allow us to report on rollover projects once approved. And our discussions are at the advanced stage, and I think moving forward we will then be able to really deal with this thing accordingly. The unspent MIG funding as at the end of 30 June should not be spent against any of the projects in the implementation until time that rollover has been approved. And that is another issue that we're engaging with the Treasury so that we try to find out some ways, because that in itself also have got some impact in terms of the expenditure of this rollover. All projects expenditure, including expenditure of the proposed rollover project, must then be reported against the current financial year allocation until the rollover is approved. So once rollover has been provided by National Treasury, we then communicate this to us, wherein we will now require to have a separate report so that we are able to distinguish from the rollover projects versus the current expenditure project. I would then go into the section that deals with mitigation on challenges that they've been experiencing on the program, just to share with the committee as to our analysis, observation, and mitigation factors that we came up with let me start with the challenges on this program. There are various challenges that are contributing to the poor spending on the program. And this results in cases wherein we find ourselves having to roll over some of the monies, or even in the past, we were even stopping and reallocating the money. This challenge includes inadequate ability to plan by the municipalities. Municipalities are unable to have a three-year budget plan wherein they are able to say these are type of projects that we're going to implement. They forced to plan and implement in the same current year, which is from any infrastructure development, it is not possible. Lack of capacity to manage and monitor the projects. You find that there is a comparison between the MIG projects and other funding. So in some instances, municipalities will look into which money, which budget is higher. And you find that, say, in some instances, RBIC have got huge projects and they concentrate into RBIC versus the MIG. The appointment of service providers and contractors who cannot deliver. It's either this process has been done very late and or the contractors or service providers that are appointed, you find that they don't necessarily have the requisite capacity to deliver. And that affects the whole process and the performance of these municipalities. One of the challenges is the whole issue of killing the emerging business people in particular by late payments of contractors, which makes it very difficult for them to survive, since the cash flow is very critical in any business. The council decision that take too long in the approval of the project and budget, unnecessary delays in the project processes, like technical reports and environmental impact assessment and so forth, as well as the use of MIG funds on operational budget pressure. And then they wait until they raise some funds so that they can substitute that funds in project implementation. How are we intending to mitigate these challenges as alluded? Our main responsibility is to have oversight on the program, to have processes and procedures, coordinate this between the various stakeholders, and also coordinate the support to these municipalities and in engaging stakeholders so that they participate in the whole value chain, starting from the planning, implementation, and even after the project has been concluded when it becomes an asset. This support is provided to ensure that projects meet the objective of the program, and the support involves the following. In terms of pre-planning phase, the infrastructure program planning support ensures that municipalities will have a pipeline of projects to deal with remaining backlog. Project verification support to municipalities to ensure that the projects are to be implemented do meet the cross-cutting and sector-specific conditions of the grant. And that is done by engaging sector departments that are engaging in their norms and standards to ensure that their norms have been met while we are also addressing the backlog in terms of the demand. The MIG implementation planning support to ensure MIG projects are appropriately planned and scheduled for implementation, and support municipalities to set spending trajectories on their MIG program. And for that, I must also mention that in some instances where we have got a challenge with regard to sector departments, we having MISA that is coming in the meantime to try to close up the gap, wherein MISA is assisting in terms of planning master plans for various programs within the municipalities And now lately we are also engaging with DPSA also to come on board so that together with MISA we can then collaboratively deal with these issues of planning, which is the very key. Because unless the planning is done properly, the subsequent phases of project implementation may not necessarily be success be realized. Then once we dealt with the planning part, we get to implementation phase, which is the construction part of it, wherein we then set the prepayment schedules to ensure that we make up a program and schedule to say how we manage the project at program level to ensure that we have got a very high level indicators when things are going wrong. This will include the frequent engagement with the municipalities to ensure that they are within the discipline in terms of spending their according to their schedule and put in some remedial actions as and when required. Wherever there are some blockages, we unblock those. We also coordinate site visits to targeted projects in which all relevant stakeholders form part, just to ensure that indeed projects are being implemented so that we don't only have the expenditure without having the actual projects happening on site. We realize that in terms of DORA, it allows us to stop and allocate the funds in case the municipalities are not spending. We, however, don't want to continue with that kind of punishment, because if we continue with that, as it has been the case in the past, you find that we are actually punishing the communities on the basis of the poor performance of the municipalities. We are therefore considering the situation wherein we stop if the municipality is not performing, and we then convert that to Schedule 6B, wherein together with MISA and DPSA we'll then implement on behalf of the municipality, and that we have sat down together with Treasury, discussed this matter. Having analyzed the expenditure pattern, we realize that in the main, those municipalities that are not spending, they keep on recurring over the years of not spending, and that means that there is a shift in terms of addressing the backlog and demand, and we're pushing it to those municipalities that are doing well, which will then mean they are far ahead in terms of their addressing backlog. Some of the situations is that we having within MISA a team that is comprised of sector specialists. They are specialists on water, sanitation, energy, as well as roads and stormwater, that are busy assisting municipalities in terms of project management, and that includes the solid waste as well. This team focuses on support through the whole project life cycle, as I've indicated, that unless we intensify our planning, we may not necessarily realize the benefits during the implementation and meeting the demands. MISA is also established, has also established a project management office wherein various stakeholders are participating, particularly sector departments and the DPSA. And research commissions, water and CSIR. They are participating in ensuring that the 27 priority district municipalities are being supported fully to ensure that the backlog in those particularly rural municipalities as per the prioritization are being addressed and helped throughout the value chain. And as part of their technical support at the provincial level, MISA has assigned various resources to provide technical support to these provinces and also assisting in the appraisal of projects from sector departments, which is also slowly engaging into the designs where, as and when required, to ensure that the type of product that we're having is of high quality and in line with engineering norms and standard. Furthermore, MISA, in partnership with Treasury, is putting in place a framework contract for various municipal goods and services to ease procurement processes in these municipalities, because we have noted, as I've already alluded on, that part of the situation is wherein you find that the procurement processes takes long and or after taking that long, they appoint wrong service providers with no capacity at all. And as such, we're looking into mechanisms wherein we can also assist in that particular aspect and have the required capacity within the municipalities to implement this project. This is a table shows the support that MISA is having in 9 provinces for about 74 municipalities, just to indicate the number of district municipalities, local, and the provinces, as well as the number of employees within each district and local municipalities. And you will realize that in the main, the rural municipalities that are rural provinces that are hosting 27 district municipalities are fairly covered. Thank you so much, Honorable Chair.
Thanks very much, Dr. Siroga. Okay, thanks very much for the presentation. Honorable members, do I proceed with the next presentation so that you discuss comprehensively? Should we allow National Treasury to just flag some of the issues and then, okay. Honorable Gaela and Isaac.
Yeah, I would suggest let's engage with this presentation first, briefly. Let's engage with this presentation first.
Okay. Do you agree?
Absolutely.
I grant you permission to do so, Honorable Gaela.
I think this document is more or less the same as the one presented last year, if I'm correct. Your support to these municipalities, technical support, from which level does it start? Because in your presentations, you say sometimes the service providers were selected who don't have the skills. Now, basically, it tells you then that from the level of the advert to the level of the SCM, there is a problem, because most of them are appointed at SCM at municipalities, supply chain management. Have you got any technical support for the supply chain management? Because I think that is where the problem is. In as much as that, you'll find in most municipalities that one service provider is used. What support do you have then for the supply chain management? Also to ensure that the emerging sector is assisted, is provided for. And what support, is there any support for the emerging sector as well? Thank you.
Thanks very much, Honorable Isaac.
Chairperson, thank you very much for the opportunity. Good morning, everybody. Chairperson, yeah, I'm just trying to wrap my mind around this. If I must go to this document presentation, this one, I would, due respect to National Treasury, I sat here last year and I perused a very similar document. I mean, it's not a rocket science, this document. I've seen it before. It's just a duplication of a duplication about how we intend to improve. But be that as it may, I think the presentation is good and realistic. My questions are, if we go to page 22 of this document, page 22 or is it slide 22, right at the bottom, the last bullet, use of MIG funds for operational budget pressures. Now, with due respect, but I think all of us here realize that this is the crux. This is the crux of the matter. It's been ongoing. It's nothing new. It's not the first time that we're seeing this here. Use of MIG funds for operational budget pressures. The question arises, how long is this situation going to prevail, Shepard? Because, I mean, you know, we see ESCOM accounts being funded, we see wages, salaries, fruitless, wasteful expenditure. The whole story just goes on and on and on. And this is why I say this is the crux of the matter. The gentleman raised a quote, if I might quote his words, and he used the words, with your permission, Chairperson, high-level indicators where things are going wrong, unquote. Now, these high-level indicators have been coming, and have been coming ongoing. It's nothing new. It's not the first time we're reading it. The question is, are we really going to pull up the handbrakes and do what we have to do as national, or are we going to just contend and continuously be dictated to by province and by the district municipalities? If you'd allow me quickly, Chairperson, to go to this document, the yellow one here, page 3, the slide there, MIG expenditure as of 30th June 2016. The last bullet again refers, municipalities will be required to justify their 2015-16 rollovers to the National Treasury by 31 August. So the question arises, was this done across the board in the entire country? Today is the 19th September, what is it? Yeah. Was that complied with? Was this done across the board nationally? That was on that page 3. Northwest Province lost 83 million rand. If you go into last year and if you go into the previous year, I don't have it right here in front of me, but Northwest continues to stick out like a sore thumb. If you look at my colleague on my right, he will not be here. I'll tell you why. Be that as it may, if I can quickly proceed on the same document to page 7, on the same document here, colleagues, bullet 1, 2, 3. Bullet 1, 2, 3. The DORA provides that should municipalities fail to repay unapproved or unspent conditional grants, they then be offset against their respective conditional or unconditional grants. My question is, how often is this happening? Next bullet on the same page, it should be noted that to avoid funds being offset at once, a periodical repayment of unspent funds can be arranged on behalf of municipalities. The question arises, is this practical? Because municipalities will continuously be under cash flow problems. So are we going to just shift it from year to year and we'll come back, see the same report, or are we going to do something? And the last question, Chairperson, on page 9 of the same document, I think it's slide 18. Yeah, I see the slide number at the bottom. Slide 18, the last bullet again. Annual financial statements must be used to verify expenditure on rollover, that is to prevent approval of rollover on a rollover. Now, if you link that to page 20, bullet 4, page 20, bullet 4 of this document, and then I will be done, sir. Page 20, if you link that comment to page 20 of this document, the TA will now require municipalities to report on approved rollover projects, their monthly, quarterly, non-financial, and monthly financial performance. Now, I'm trying to educate myself and read this together with that, to try and figure out what would be the impact, what oversight would it give us as on a quarterly basis as compared to this one, which talks of annual financial statements. I'm getting a little confused here. On the one hand, we look at the annual financial statements. On the other hand, we need the reports for monthly, quarterly, non-financial, and monthly financial performance. So I'm just trying to educate myself so I can link the two together. Chairperson, you know I'm always grateful for the opportunity. I thank you.
Thanks very much, Honorable Isaac and Honorable Mutashupi.
No thanks, Chair. maybe I must start by welcoming the presentation. At any rate, I would expect the contents of this report to be the same. For one simple reason, I'm not employed by this department, but logic will tell me and rationale that we have said that these are things that you need to look into. Therefore, we would not expect any deviation, perhaps that clarifies without being subjective. Now, I'm not answering on your behalf. I know you can answer. Chair, part of the responsibilities of the provincial government is to monitor and support. Now, there's a missing link in terms of the presentation where you have your province playing a major supporting role in terms of MIG spending. You would recall that money would come directly from national to locals. However, it does not take the responsibility of the provincial government to monitor and support these municipalities. You also indicated on your TO, transferring officer, you indicated that there's a challenge in terms of money from Treasury and then the transferring officer, and I'm sure you are looking into it and trying to handle it. The last point before the last. You see, one thing that interests me here, without scoring any political point, is that there's a movement and an improvement. Unless you don't want to be, you know, you always want to criticize and without being constructive. KZN, of all the provinces, performed well. And you know what impresses me most? It's Black Run. The last point. Chief, the issue of the Northwest Province is running away. We appreciate the fact that there is a movement. Despite the fact that funds were stopped, but they are stopped for a good reason. Transferring it to performing municipalities, not to, like you indicated, the intention here is not to punish communities. And I'm happy about it, because this is a unitary state. We are not here to say Northwest, because I come from there. Therefore, we are running a country, and a country has 9 provinces. So I must be jealous when KZN performs well, and I should not rejoice when Limpopo doesn't perform well, because I am in the National Council of Provinces. Therefore, it must be my concern as a leader if one province is not doing well. At any rate, what is my way to be here? To come and talk about provincial matters. I'm not in the provincial legislature here. Thank you very much, sir.
Thanks very much, Honorable Mtashupi, Honorable Terblash, and then Honorable Dibier.
Chairperson, thank you. I also want to start by thanking the Treasury for a comprehensive report. You know, looking at the challenges, and I think that one of the things that is standing out here for me is the lack of capacity in certain municipalities.
And maybe that is something, you know, because obviously that boils down to through this whole process. And I think we need to start focusing on building capacity, whoever is responsible for that. You know, the implementation, the planning, stuff like that. You know, a typical stop-start approach is what they do here at the moment. The gentleman referred to that, you know, that they are sort of planning on a yearly basis. And, you know, there is a lack of, you know, multi-year sort of planning. And they I think they also have other challenges. For instance, you know, some of the specialized work that needs to be done, I'm just thinking about, you know, site clearances and, you know, I and stuff like that that needs to be done. So the building of capacity, I think, is very important. If we go to, you know, to page 24 on this presentation, and the gentleman once again referred there to section 6B, to implement on behalf of the municipality. Yes, that is obviously a very last resort. If they cannot do that, obviously that sort of intervention will have to be made. But if we do that, you know, we are not solving the problem. That can only be for an emergency. We need to ensure that people have the capacity to implement and obviously, you know, to employ as far as possible local labor, stuff like that. Going to page 25, that is now about that National Treasury is putting in place a range of framework contracts. What we have here is term contracts, what they're putting in place. Term contracts, and I can just imagine that this is done on a national basis. Once again, we deprive our local people from participating in the economy. And yes, once again, this is a last resort. But I think this must only be a very last resort. You know, we need to put out tenders on a smaller scale where smaller contractors will be able to participate. And that will take, you know, a while to build capacity. Chairperson, thank you. That is my input. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Honorable Terre Blanche. Honorable Dibier.
Okay, thank you. And we appreciate also the presentation and that one to come from Treasury. Chairperson, being mindful of the programs implemented and being implemented and still ongoing by COCTA, by the National Treasury to assist municipalities and provinces. What can these two departments today tell us? What progress have been made in terms of those programs that you that was rolled out in provinces and in municipalities? You see, Chair, because we have to measure. Then leading to, and thank you for the presentations, because why? This presentation informs our oversight program. What must happen? We may have to call Limpopo, Northwest, Northern Cape, but also call KZN to the same meeting that KZN can share their best practices with the other provinces. We've got success because of 1, 2, 3, 4. What are we doing right? What can you learn from us, Northern Cape, for example? So that is my remark on the chair. Then slide 26, you referred to municipalities, missile support in MIG spending and monitoring. You refer to figures, but if you could unpack, I'm very interested in the 11 municipalities in the Northern Cape. Which 11 is that? That's my province. But also the other provinces, if you could unpack and name those municipalities. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Honorable Shal. Honorable Zimande, do you want to comment?
Okay. Thank you, Chair. And also take note of the presentation.
I think the presenter indicated that despite that 98% of KZN and the additional funds that they got, there was then 60 million rand outstanding. Perhaps just a question of clarity there. Was it a question of capacity or taking more than you can chew, or what is this, the state of affairs there? Thank you, Chair.
No, thanks very much, honourable members. I think to COCTA, honourable members have raised very valuable points that needs to be clarified, and also to just share experiences. I mean, the bottom line is that the issue of under expenditure robs communities of valuable assets, and there should be consistency in how government utilizes public resources that are allocated. So members are aware that Treasury, we break rank to routine, so we just allow COCTA to present. So you have Treasury's presentation, which I've seen that members have also glanced through it. So we will give Treasury an opportunity after these responses just to highlight all the areas or to present in a manner that complements, also draw some areas that requires further attention. Thanks, COCTA.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. I'll take the simple ones, and all the difficult ones will be dealt with by my colleagues from MISA and my specialist on the mix side.
Well, in the previous year, you took the difficult ones.
Yeah, I got promoted. Perhaps before I go and zoom into each and every question that honourable members have raised, I think it is very important for us to note that of all the grants, maximum around 17 transferred directly or indirectly to municipalities, MIG is among the best performing in terms of expenditure. That needs to be recognized. And if you look also at the quantum of the MIG that has been transferred over time, it has been increasing in all the years since it started in 2004. Honorable Gaela, if I mention your name wrongly, just pardon me. I come from Vuani, and in Vuani we break rules sometimes. On the issue of whether we are supporting supply chain management processes in municipalities, as the department, we don't necessarily have a direct program of supporting supply chain management issues. But what we have done in identifying certain indicators within the B2B, when you look at the pillar of financial management, we have indicated that even Treasury, when we look at the competencies of those supply chain practitioners in local government, we need to look at those particular competencies as well, outside the parameters of the senior management level. Honorable Isaacs, you ask a very critical question. When does this thing of rollover going to stop, or when should we have this issue of MIG being used for other operational expenditures going to stop? And you refer to it as a high-level indicator. Now, I just want to say, Honorable Chair, that when you look at the funds that flows to municipalities, MIG is a conditional one, and you have your local government equitable share. Now, when you sit as an accounting officer in a municipal space, you then say, what is it that is in my kitty? MIG deals with issues of infrastructure, and it's very difficult to just say you will spend when there is no delivery that has happened on that particular infrastructure. Now, normally you will find that as an accounting officer, he will then say, I'm still leaving 20 million in the MIG kitty because the projects are still running and the milestones have not yet been delivered. But on the equitable share, which also fund your operational expenses, I'm running dry, but I'll receive the equitable share in the next 2 months. You find that an accounting officer might use part of that MIG, but hoping that you'll get it when the equitable share comes. So it's a very a dicey situation to say, as a national government department, we may be able to control that. Now, with regard to the important issue that you have raised around the annual financial statement, we are saying when you deal with the rollovers, the only time that the rollovers will be confirmed is by the audited annual financial statement. So we know exactly what, because sometimes municipalities will apply to Treasury and say, we are having a rollover of 120 million. Only to find that in the annual financial statement is 150 million. So that is why we utilize the audited annual financial statement to confirm that particular figure. Now you go on to ask about the report on the rollovers on a monthly basis. Currently, the Division of Revenue does not give the transferring officer, the national transferring officer, the responsibility of monitoring funds that Treasury might have approved on the rollover process. So you find that Treasury, that the report from municipalities on funds that were on the rollover goes to Treasury either through the Section 71 report. So the presenter was saying we are going to look at a mechanism of how the national transferring officer can also monitor that. So the issue of the report is only when we say the annual financial statement has confirmed that the rollover is 150 million. Now, every time the municipality is spending on that 150 million, we need to know how much have they spent on the rollover. Yes. Honorable Mutashoping, I think you're right in terms of the role that the province needs to play. In the past, when we were looking at the time when the expenditure of MIG was a little bit declining, we then said, let's look at the capacity of the MIG unit itself, but also look at what is happening in provinces. And when we looked at the decline in the expenditure, we realized that the quantum of the MIG was also increasing. So we came up with the capacity to resource the MIG, and Treasury gave us the funding to do that. And that capacity now, what we do is that when we do, he talked about the project visitation to check whether the projects are really moving in line with what the expenditure is saying. They have institutionalized at a provincial level, where we meet with provincial officials and we sit in the project management office. We'll sit with the sector departments in terms of analyzing the technical reports, looking at the environmental impact assessment reports, and go to those municipalities with provinces. So it is correct that the provinces need to be playing that monitoring role. Where we find a little bit find it a little bit lacking is in respect of having that political ownership at the level of MECs, because we also say to MECs, in certain min-max, can they report broadly on the implementation of the B2B? Now, with regard to Honorable Reblanche, matters around the lack of capacity in certain municipalities. You'll remember that in 2014 January, we then issued some regulations on the appointment of senior managers, and Treasury has got that competency framework that they had before. Now, with that, we want to make sure that everybody who is appointed at a municipal space does have the relevant qualification. But if you look at the B2B some of the indicators that we have added now. We have added the issue of supply chain because we're saying we didn't include supply chain. Although we have the CFO, we wanted supply chain to also to be included. We are also looking at the planning issues. The issue is not even around whether the planning regime is not there. It is there in the first place because you have your IDP, which is 5 years, and you have your service delivery and budget implementation plan that the mayor approved. Now, those planning regimes are there. The question is on the operational implementation of those particular plans. And remember, towards the end of November every year, we always say the municipality must give us a 3-year infrastructure plan which is indicating whether in the next medium-term expenditure period they will be able to spend the totality of what they get. Because what Treasury gives in terms of the allocation in the DORA, we know that each and every municipality is guaranteed 90%. They will get that funding in the outer year. The issue of the term contract depriving the local issues, I don't think in the issue of MIG you will have issues of term contract because in the MIG you're dealing with an infrastructure project that is there. Term contracts are only used for operations and maintenance purposes. And you do that, you go through the normal procurement processes and maximum term will be 3 years. And after 3 years, other people will come in. But I think the issue that you are raising that is critical is what is now being looked at even at a national level. To say if you have that kind of a term contract, you can define to say if somebody is having this high capacity, how do we bring in a small, medium enterprise to be subcontracted in those particular matters so that you get the quality that you require? Honorable De Beers, I think these guys will give you the details of those municipalities that are listed there, the names of those municipalities. If we don't have them here, we will be able to provide, Honorable Chair, the supplementary information. But I think the colleagues are here. Yeah, Honorable Nzimande, I think your observation is correct. I think the colleagues will respond to that. Because if you look at all those municipalities where monies have been shifted in other provinces. You find KZN, for instance, we gave them 69 million, but they underspend with 60 million. So overall, it might mean that they had overspent on their original allocation by 9 million. So those are some of the things that the colleagues will respond. I don't know who wants to start. Okay. Misa will start on our project.
Thank you, Chair and Honorable Members. I will respond to a question that was asked at first with regard to technical support. The question was, at what level are we providing support? As indicated in the presentation, support starts from a level of planning, and then it moves then into the procurement in part. And by that I mean assisting municipalities in developing bid documents and also involving, being involved in developing specs, specifications in terms of reference for certain projects that are being implemented. And then moving on into project management in terms of the projects that are being implemented. So those are the levels where generally support is provided to municipalities. But I think the question was specific to supply chain. And with regard to supply chain, for example, the technical engineers that we have in municipalities, they provide support in a level of developing terms of reference for specific projects, and in certain instances, they do participate in evaluation of projects, but not to the level of adjudication. So those are some of the areas where some of our support engineers are providing support. But may I also indicate that as part of refocusing within MESA, we've looked into the area of procurement as an area that needs attention. And as such, then hence there's been the introduction of the framework contracts, which we have alluded to in the presentation. But also, may I indicate that National Treasury has introduced the standards for infrastructure procurement. There's a document that has been released by National Treasury in that regard. And as part of refocusing of MESA, we're looking into assisting municipalities in the implementation of that document, because that document begins to deal with capacity constraints in municipalities with regard to procurement issues. So that will be another avenue that is going to be helping municipalities to improve on the side of supply chain. And I think that's a question that I've identified a gap on, but I think Mr. Vimba will speak into progress that we have made in terms of the programs implemented by MESA, and also indicate which municipalities are we supporting.
Thank you very much, Chair. In terms of the progress, Chair, there are programs that we have jointly supported municipalities on together with Treasury. One of those programs is the support that we are currently providing in Mopane. As we know, Mopane has been challenged in terms of performance on MIG. Now, we took a decision together with COGTA and the National Treasury to say, instead of stopping money and reallocating it to better performing municipalities, let's pull together resources that must seek to support municipalities to spend. Now, what we have then done was to put a team of engineers from MESA that is assisting with fast-tracking of technical reports. At least half of the technical reports that were outstanding now has since been approved by Water and Sanitation. And over and above that, Mopane has surrendered about 150 million rand. They already said to us, look, we're not going to be able to spend this money. So Treasury and ourselves were in a process of conversion, and we're engaging with DBSA to come in as an implementing agent to assist to spend that 150 million. Also, we have also supported Kukune. Last year, Kukune was on the verge of losing 160 million rand due to poor performance. And we're able to intervene and put together a team that went there to ensure that they support Kukune not to lose that money. Indeed, we were able to save the money, and Kukune at the end of the day was able to spend 96% of its MIG allocation due to that support. And Mr. Ladd has already indicated the support that we are providing in terms of supporting municipalities with the rollout of standards for infrastructure procurement. Again, we are partnering with Treasury on that one. And also on the question of focusing on capacity, realizing exactly the fact that the support that MESA provides, for as long as focusing on technical side, will never make an impact on municipalities. We said we need to move and focus more on capacity. Now, what we did, we made a business proposal to Treasury to say, can we start a program that will seek to do a total turnaround of the whole water function in the municipality and see if with this can we be able to turn around the municipality in totality in terms of its own performance, including improving the capacity of municipalities to raise their own revenue and be able to operate and maintain the infrastructure. Treasury approved, gave us 80 million rand to pilot that initiative. And with that initiative now, we're almost done with the procurement process, and we're focusing on one region. So what we did, we clustered certain water services authorities into regions. Now we started with the Eastern Cape region, which will be Amatole District Municipality, OR Tambo, and Altrenzo to do a total turnaround around those municipalities and ensure that with those municipalities we leave a legacy that will last for long. Now, how this program will work, we said we need the multidisciplinary teams or consortia that will come and deal with the whole value chain, including HR, finance, engineering aspect, and the whole capacity of the municipality to be able to plan and implement infrastructure. Then coming to the question around which municipalities in Northern Cape and other municipalities were supporting, we have a list, Honorable Member, in the narrative report that we did. We have an annexure that has got a list of all municipalities that were supporting in all the provinces that we have indicated.
Thanks so much, Honorable Chair and Honorable Member. I think colleagues have said a mouthful on issues, and some were really comments made by members. The issue of supply chain, I think they've said a mouthful. Safe to say the process that is unfolding with National Treasury is to separate supply chain processes for infrastructure from those of goods and services, so that you then have the specialists, as has been alluded to, on from engineering perspective, that you will then be able to do specification and evaluation. That will help in ensuring that we have got the required capacity in terms of service providers that are appointed. The issue around the 31st August, I think, is the only issue that wasn't touched so far, whether the municipalities have reached the deadline. I hope the Treasury will be having that part in their presentation, because the municipalities are applying direct to Treasury, and that is some engagement that we engage them once we are in the process of evaluating those, and I think they will be able to touch on that. The issue around capacity, yes, indeed, there is a lack of capacity in the municipalities, and all these measures that we are putting in is a crisis management. It's just temporary measures. It's not a permanent solution. So what goes along with that is the support plans. When we get into through conversion, we don't only go and implement on behalf of the municipality, but it is in parallel to that, we build in the capacity to that municipality so that when we exit, they are able to continue with their responsibilities. I must, however, mention that the issue of capacity in the typical rural municipalities in this 27 district, priority district, is a challenge given the grading of the municipalities, that in some instances they are unable to attract the required skills because of the grading. And that is something that it is still a challenge that might need to be re-looked at, maybe at the political level, to say how do we create the rural municipalities that are very need, they need, they still have a lot of the backlogs, and they need sufficient support, and they can't by themselves because in some instances they are not even raising some revenue. So the cream of expertise will always flock to the metros because of the grading system and all that. So that is one challenge that we're still going to live with for some time, but I think at the political level it might need some rethinking along that. The issue around emerging contractors, I think it has been alluded quite sufficiently. The means of contracts allows the nominated subcontracting, wherein even if a capacitated contractor is being appointed, there could be some emerging contractors within the municipalities that are local that can be put in the database and be a nominated subcontractor. It is allowed in the general condition of contract, and that is something that can also be looked at. I guess, and the issue around the performance of the municipalities, KZN as an example. Yes, it is a situation that we have noticed that in some municipalities you find that they are able to spend on to what they have planned, and when they get additional money to spend, it becomes additional burden. So, and it's on those notion that we have looked into the issue of considering conversion rather than reallocating, because we're putting additional pressure. But what we have been looked at, as we would also observe, they would have spent the money, but then also spent a portion of what has been given, because the other criteria that we were using was to check the state of readiness in terms of implementing those projects. But yes, indeed, in some instances, it has been observed that there have been more than they could chew. Thanks so much.
No, thanks very much, Cocta, headed by Dr. Skid. Thanks. Let me give Treasury now. Any other matter will come after Treasury members. You can have a second bite. Let's have Treasury to. And Treasury had the benefit also of some of the questions and some areas that it may want to deal with. Ndare Masha.
Good morning. Once again, honorable members, and to my colleagues as well from various departments, let me take the opportunity, honorable chairperson, to appreciate the opportunity again to come to this house. It is always an honor, especially at my level. My name is Selo Mashaba. I work for the National Treasury, and I am the director there responsible for the my unit is called Municipal Grant Monitoring and Analysis. I report to DDGE, Madije Ngaleni, and with those words, let me also, Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Members, convey apologies on her behalf. She's not able to come. But seeing that I also made the presentation the last round, which today's session is informed by, it was fitting that I also come. So apologies on her behalf, Chairperson. Can I therefore take honorable members through my presentation? I would, to the extent that I can, Chairperson, I would not talk to the parts that my colleagues have already alluded to. You would have noticed that they have indicated in some of their slides that some of the tables would have been the work that we jointly did together. My outline today, I would do a bit of introduction. I would take us through the, maybe just a brief background of MEEC, and I'll touch base on the duties of the department, DCOG, as the custodian of this conditional grant, the Municipal Infrastructure Grant. Then I would talk about our role as National Treasury. I thought that it's important that we separate and perhaps make it clearer in terms of who is doing what between ourselves and the Department of COCTA. Then I would quickly just show a table on the fourth quarter preliminary performance of municipalities. This would talk about MEEC specifically in terms of what was reported as performance for 2015-16 financial year, for a period July up to June 2016. Then I will elaborate on the proposed conversion of the MEEC
allocations, and it has already been spoken about, but perhaps I'll just add just a bit, especially on the how part, how do we go about implementing the conversion of the MIG allocation. The issue of the rollover, I think it was discussed quite a bit, and there were a few questions that I would hopefully in my presentation or later in Q&A questions and answers, I would also talk about. There was a question that wanted to know, is the Treasury and COCTA achieving anything in terms of rollovers? Are they doing what they said they will do, especially across the country? So we'll talk about that. Then I would share with the House what has happened on the previous rollover, 2014-15, that was approved in 2015-16. We are now sitting, in 2016-17. Then I would then talk to the progress in terms of where we are on the rollover of the year that just ended. So that would, in brief, be my presentation, and I'll try to move with speed. Broadly, Honourable Chairperson, the DORA provides for, in the main, two types of allocations. We've got the unconditional conditional grant and the so-called purpose-specific allocations. The MIG is housed within the purpose-specific allocations. What does that mean is that that grant can only be spent in terms of what its purpose it's supposed to be, or what the intention of the grant. In other words, you can't do any other thing except what the grant is supposed to be. And the MIG policy is housed at National COCTA, and they drive that agenda of ensuring that the MIG is spent for the intended purpose. I think this is becoming our new challenge, Honourable Chairperson, seeing that we are winning in terms of expenditure. We are now in the 90%, as it has been alluded. But I think there's the new question now. We gazette these allocations on an annual basis, and the Division of Revenue Act allows for multi-year allocations. What it does, it gives you the current year allocation that's appropriated and the two outer years. The acting DG, COCTA, has already alluded to the guarantees of the 90% in terms of the MIG. When we do that, it is normally during the Minister of Finance budget speech in February. So you then, as a municipality, have a good sense, your 5-6 months before your year would start, in terms of what is coming your way. That should begin to assist the plan in terms of what are you going to commit on or against. Then further, the bill provides for the framework. It provides for the allocations. Then it also provides for specific sections. I think that should be a tool for us to then go and say, what does the framework say? What are we supposed to be chasing, or what are we supposed to be monitoring? In terms of the duties of COCTA, in terms of where we are sitting as National Treasury, We expect the department to drive the allocation criteria agenda in terms of what informs MIG, what should MIG be funding, and the MIG policy is very clear in terms of that specification. They also are managing or overseeing the MIG registration role of projects. So that would encompass a work between them and other sector departments, your Department of Water and Sanitation, your sports, your human settlement. So they would engage in that space. Then they are required to implement a uniform performance monitoring system. We've got 9 provinces that are split between different types of municipalities, your metropolitan municipalities, your district municipalities, and your local municipalities, which are predominantly rural, in the main. Currently, as honourable members might be aware, that the MIG excludes the metropolitan municipalities because their portion is housed within
a grant called USDG grant, Urban Settlement Development Grant, which is sitting at National Human Settlement Department. And we therefore are ensuring that there's a report on performance between COCTA and ourselves in terms of expenditure. Where we're sitting, we are in the main looking at financial numbers. The department is expected to move slightly deeper into the, in terms of looking even to the extent of projects. And then towards the end of the financial year, then there would be performance reporting, as in looking back in terms of what has been achieved, and that is done through the annual financial statements and the annual reports that is, that should be consistent with the prescribed legislation, PFMA, and the Municipal Finance Management Act. So it is therefore important that in our work with municipalities and elsewhere by other support departments, that the annual financial statements become as credible as possible, because we make our decision on that basis. So the report that is tabled by our AG on annual basis really is, should be our focus. Every time when he says too much disclosures in terms of the statements, we should all be worried, because we heavily put our reliance on that. So if statements are disclaimed, rather, and are not unqualified, that begins to be a problem. Just a bit on how, and I really will not spend much time on this. MEEC was a grant that had consolidation and an integrated plan embedded in that. The plan was to say prior to 2004, we've got various capital infrastructure programs housed elsewhere at water affairs and transport and so on and so forth, at energy. It would rather be best that we consolidate all capital infrastructure programs into a grant called Municipal Infrastructure Grant, so that we can allow synergy in terms of plan within the municipal space, because municipalities, they would have one or two engineering or technical unit. Now, if various funding are coming from all directions, that might perhaps cause a confusion, even when, how they do their plan. And that's how, in the main, the municipal infrastructure was best, and that was strongly supported by other agencies, including the FFC, Finance and Fiscal Commission. And as already alluded by my colleagues, it looks at eradicating basic municipal infrastructure backlogs to poor households. And this grant is sitting at COCTA, so it forms part of their budget. I think they've already alluded to this slide, Honorable Chairperson. What is key in terms of what we do as National Treasury to monitor the department? We monitor whether they comply to the framework of the conditional grant. The Division of Revenue Act provides for what we call grant framework. What does that mean is that it is a business plan reduced to one page. It's a business plan for MEEC, which is reduced to one page, and it says thou shalt do or thou shalt spend MEEC in this format, and it will be spent on these programs and within the time frames that is there. So the framework is our guiding tool. The framework is actually, there's a part which says 8 months before the year starts, municipalities must begin to submit to the department business plans or implementation plans. So it begins to say, how ready are we in space? That is the work that we do together with the department. And honorable members will see later when we discuss some of the results how that affects us. If that is not been put in place, and what would be the end result of that? The last bullet there talks about performance on conditional grants within the AFS. I think we really have spoken quite a bit on this one, even from the previous presentation by my colleagues. What is our role? As National Treasury, we ensure that allocated funds are made and transferred in terms of the payment schedule. Now, this payment schedule thing, it is supposed to be a system that begins to predict, that begins to say to us there will be problems, or that begins to say to us you are not planning accordingly. Your municipalities might run into cash problems. That is the plan. Therefore, to the extent that we can improve on this payment schedule process, then we'll be able to predict if we're going to be in trouble or not. But what we do, together with the department, in this case, specifically for MIG, because it is the subject matter today, we receive payment schedules from the department before the start of the financial year. Now, this thing is a cash projection. Municipalities are saying we want our money in this format. Now, if a municipality is saying they want their money in July, and in November they spend zero, then it begins to say to us, perhaps we have a problem. But this is what this thing is supposed to do. It's supposed to predict management and movement of cash within the year. There's the second bullet. Is the issue of the safety web system. This is a system that is sitting right on top of the payment schedule. What it does, it assists us in identifying what monies have been transferred into the primary bank of municipalities in terms of the requirement of Section 6 of MFMA. So therefore, a municipality shouldn't be saying, I've used this money because I didn't know what it is for. So the safety web is supposed to identify when would money be transferred to municipalities, and what grant is it for, and in which bank account. And we facilitate that throughout the year. And, of course, part of our role in year, we support the department in terms of the withholding, the advancement of the transfers, and perhaps also the amendment of the payment schedule. In other words, if the payment schedule process failed, the withholding should begin to say, let's withhold, let's safeguard the fiscus. And if we are really running in trouble also, we are able to advance. In other words, we are able to bring forward a municipality's allocation so that they can move with speed. So in all fairness, they shouldn't be problems of cash for spending. Rather, we should be worried about whether the cash available is being used for the right cause, or is it being invested for other things. So we should not be having that problem. And of course, there was a question that was raised about on the difference between monthly, quarterly, and annual reports. During the year, we need to know what is happening, and that is done on a monthly basis. We need to know if money is moving as we have released it. And on quarterly basis, we want to know performance, because in the capital space, in the capital environment, it is difficult to measure performance on a monthly basis because it's capital, especially if we're operating in an accrual system of accounting method, which says that payments are only recognized when they are accrued. So it takes a bit of time for invoice to be cleared and so on and so forth. And, of course, the annual financial statement then begins to say, for the course of the year, what have you done? Have you delivered that which was meant for you to deliver? I think the issue that we face, Honorable Chairperson and members, is that we have a Division of Revenue Act which is annual, which means that you've got to plan and schedule your projects in that space. All your plans that are falling outside the year, you should not be linking them in the current year because you will not be able to spend. An example is an issue of construction of a stadium. If you are building a stadium for a period of 2 years, you should not be allocating money for construction of the roof in the first year. You will not be able to spend that money because there will not be any roof in the first year. If in terms of your plan the roof is in the second year, the MIG portion of that current year's allocation should rather be in the outer year because that's where the roof would be required to be constructed. These are some of the challenges that we begin to experience with our municipalities together with my colleagues.
Perhaps this is just a table on compliance. If honourable members can zoom into the slide printout on I think it's page 9 or 8 on page 8. We're just saying that in the last quarter, compliance has regressed, sadly. But maybe we can rather say that perhaps there was no one in the office to ensure compliance during, given the elections that we just had. Because if you look at fourth quarter of 2014-15, compliance was sitting at 75%. The fourth quarter now, compliance is sitting at 67%. Now, what this table suggests, it reflects how municipalities are reporting to us. How are they signing off on this Section 71? It's supposed to guide us whether the numbers we have are credible or not, because we want the CFO and the accounting officer to sign off on this number. So, basically, it will look into the number of municipalities in the province and how many of those municipalities have signed off. And those graphs are showing us whether since the last quarter there's been a downward or upward type of movement. This one as well, slide number 9, I would like to talk to the table itself. We are sitting, our spending performance are very close and similar to COCTA. MIG is reflecting spending at above 90% of their 14 billion allocation. So this is what we're seeing. And indeed, correct, 5 years ago we were sitting on an average 80%. So we are doing very well in terms of MIG performance. Specifically on the issues that arose from 15-16 financially, the problematic areas, that I just want to name few municipalities, Honorable Chairperson, that we have supported. We have been supporting now 2 years in a row Magana local municipality with Sarah Bartman in the Eastern Cape. What we are doing there, their allocations, is their MIG money is paid to their contractors through the district municipality. The SCM process is still moving within the local, but the money is diverted via the district to the contractor so that we do not disturb progress. The second one that we've assisted, and that's on bullet 3, the second portion of that paragraph is Tabazimbi and Waterberg District Municipality. We started from last year also that we are doing the same thing that we've done with Sarah Bartman. Well, Waterberg is in the southern part of Limpopo, where we are assisting Tabazimbi to basically to protect the money. But still be used within the same space. If I can talk to this one as well, just to explain what gets done in the stopping and reallocation, and I think this was I elaborated quite a bit in my last presentation. The stopping, and I would not say much, Honourable Chairperson, the stopping of the MIG is never meant to disadvantage the municipality. And in our letters, we always say that when you are ready, the Treasury will be more than happy to release money back to you so that we can move and move faster on your backlog's mandate. Our challenge is that if we don't stop the money doesn't get to the communities. If we stop it either, also, it still doesn't get to the community. So, and the Treasury had said, perhaps what we can show is to say,
well, we have failed, but the money is here. It was stopped whilst we try to resolve. We acknowledge that this is not the best solution, but from where we're coming from as National Treasury, the protector of the fiscal, would rather have the money and rather give it to you when you're ready, as opposed to not spending it with the community and also losing it in your bank account. I think that's our challenge right there. This slide, I will also focus on the table, the gray shaded table. It reflects performance on the rollovers of 2014-15. What honorable members would see there is that the approval of the rollover was in the 900, am I seeing it right, is it 6 or 5? It's in the 900 million, but the expenditure is 100, it's just below 200 million. Now, COCTA has already indicated that we are working together to ensure a proper monitoring on rollovers. Now, what does that number suggest is that if we don't experience rollover of rollovers in the current year, to the extent that it means that that 900 million has been spent, it perhaps means that the expenditure is accounted for in the so-called 92% that we're saying is expenditure. Because surely, when municipalities were asking for a rollover, they would have said to us, contractors are on site, there's dust in the air, we are spending this money, please approve. If you don't, then you'll be in trouble. Now, if performance is that low, and on the other side we see good performance, it means we are spending, but perhaps we need to assist our municipalities in terms of how to properly report on this rollover so that we can separate the two in terms of the reporting. This one I presented on this slide in the last quarter, so with your permission, Honorable Chair, I'm going to jump on it. It reflects, like I said, 93%. If you look at the Eastern Cape there, it shows expenditure as a percentage of an allocation, sitting at 101. Perhaps this begins to support my point to say, if I have any rollover now of Eastern Cape and they're showing 101%, and if I look at this compliance part of Eastern Cape in my previous slide, if almost everyone has signed off on the fourth quarter numbers, meaning their numbers is correct and the accounting officer is confident, then it means perhaps that 101% is as a result of rollovers of 14-15. So these are the things that we need to work on. This is the slide that I want to talk about, the conversion. The Division of Revenue Act allows that National Treasury may, at its discretion, or at the request of the transferring national officer, convert any allocation within the Division of Revenue Act to prevent under expenditure or to improve the level of service delivery. Now, conversion means that money that was allocated to Mopani District Municipalities, as an example, would no longer go to Mopani via their bank account. What conversion means is that money would still be spent within the district through another service agent. And in this case, COCTA has already indicated to us that they are working hand in glove with MISA and with the Development Bank of Southern Africa. So this is what conversion is supposed to achieve. It's supposed to say to a district municipality, do you have projects? What was in your budget when you tabled your budget? There's a table in our budget documentation which lists all projects for the year for that municipality. We would then look into that and say, what are your blockages? If they haven't registered, then as MISA has already alluded, they would assist in fast-tracking the registration process. Now, if they don't have capacity in a similar way as Mopani is having, then we would then say let's rather opt for the conversion route so that we don't delay. Our challenge is that DORA appropriates on an annual basis. After the end of the year, the power to spend that money lapses. So therefore, from Treasury, they would say, if the question would be to say, if you knew that you could not spend, why did you commit the Treasury to go and borrow money? Why didn't you rather use it for something else, just to save up on the cost of borrowing? So that's the challenge that we face on the option of not stopping and also on conversion. So I'll talk about Mopani District Municipality, Mafube Local Municipality, and Ngakamudiri Mulema, just to be very specific in some of our challenges there. We are in the advanced stage of the conversion of the MIG allocation in 2016-17, the current year, and we are looking at those three municipalities. The first one is Fezile Dabi and Mafube. In the past year, 2015-16, there was a meeting in Treasury where we sat with the provincial treasurer of Free State and the two municipalities in terms of the Mafube MIG allocation. The HOD COCTA from the province indicated that they would assist the two municipalities by ensuring that there is a smooth transition of moving the money through the stopping and reallocation from their local to their district. That money was moved to Fezile Dabi, but as we sit there, we still have unspent of the money, even from the district's point of view. So it means the stopping and reallocation, which was meant to assist, didn't work. But in hindsight or upon close inspection, we've noticed that the SLA that was agreed upon to be concluded was not concluded. In fact, as we see today, we still don't have a copy of the SLA that was supposed to be conducted between the two municipalities. So we're sitting with that money, which is part of the rollover process. Now, if I can share with the House, the issue there was that the two municipalities could not agree on who should deliver the service. Mafube said, we've already contracted. We just want you to help us to pay our contractors because our bank account is not looking good. Fezile Dabi said, well, we can't trust your contractors. We'd like to run our own process. So, and we've been looking good for some time, so we're not too sure what we're dealing with. So they in Treasury, they came with two SLAs, but COCTA said that they will facilitate the process. It was COCTA in the province. So in the current year, we are agreeing now with National COCTA to go the conversion route for this local municipality. The next one is Ngakamudiri Mulema. They have been experiencing numerous challenges for quite a while, but in the main, the issue here is called staff bloatedness. So what is the challenge for the CFO is that he's got to pay salaries, unfortunately. And whatever that comes his or her way, it's quite a challenge. But I've listed the challenge. We've been assisting them even in the previous year. They have used MIG for operational issues for the past 2 years. And we've tried to recall this money. We've assisted them by saying, and here I'm responding to a question that was raised earlier on in terms of the repayment process. We said that the offsetting of equitable share against your unspent MIG would be stretched. We can't take it all at once because if we take your operational money to pay off your MIG, then it might cause a problem just for you to operate at least. So we've allowed them to pay back the money in bits and pieces. I think it's so that they can still be able to operate. Unfortunately, they, as we sit, they still used the 2015-16 MIG again for operational purposes. So the problem is not the grant. we have a good sense with the support of our provincial COCTA and national COCTA and provincial treasurer. We sit as the whole team, Honorable Chairperson, with me in Northwest. The grant management is not an issue. It is the finance part in the BTO, Budget and Treasury Office, that is having to juggle in terms of what is a priority there. So there could be minor issues in terms of project, but really we're not too concerned. The problem is in the main, in the BTO and not in the PMU. We've got our colleagues from MISA that are supporting the municipality, but it is the decision on what gets done with the cash that causes a problem. And really, staff bloatedness is an issue. So it would take a decision elsewhere, Honorable Chairperson, on that matter. I think we spoke about Tabazimbi as well, so we'll not waste much time. This slide just begin to really explain what happens in Tabazimbi and also Sarah Batman. We are running a process, Honorable Chairperson, in terms of the rollover request in accordance to the requirement of the Division of Revenue Act. The Act says that if a municipality reflects unspent conditional grant by the end of their financial year, the municipality must request permission to Treasury to carry over that money to the new financial year only if this money is committed to identifiable projects. So, in other words, this project must be committed, meaning there must have been a contract awarded, and we've got to be able to say we can identify this project. It's something that the department can then assist us. So we know this project, it has already started. Treasury, if you don't approve, you are really going to cause problems because contractors might walk out of sight. So that's the purpose as reflected in the Division of Revenue Act. What we have then done was to then issue a circular that provides guidance to all municipalities and to all departments to say, when you request for a rollover, this is what you must do. There must be a formal letter that is addressed in terms of the law, signed by the accounting officer to National Treasury. This letter must say, I hereby request that you allow me to carry on because it rained for the whole year or there were problems. I could not deliver. Then they must give us a list of projects that are linked to this unspent. So we've got to have a list which says, I've got Project C, Project D, and Project E that only spend 60% each. Therefore, I want the Treasury to allow me to finish off the 40% between these three projects. So we want to see those projects listed per their name. Then we need a proof that the project tender was published and that tender date, the deadline was 30 June. So to us, it then says you had a plan to spend this money during that year. We therefore would like to also see the tender award, that there was a letter that awarded this tender to a project, meaning there was a plan, the municipality knew what they were doing, they knew what they were buying to the extent that they awarded a tender. We want to know the progress report on those projects that have underperformed. What happened and where are you? And we want to know exactly the amount that which the municipality is saying is committed, that which they could not spend. It has to be clear so that we know what we are approving. They need to tell us why they didn't spend the money. Perhaps it rained the whole year, like I said. They need to tell us, should we approve, how long will it take for them to deliver this? Because what we've experienced is that municipalities, if you give them a rollover, it becomes a new burden. They've got the new allocation plus the rollover, then it becomes a problem. They then are required to accurately disclose in their pre-audit financial statements the grant that has underperformed. The financial statement allows that as you build an asset, the strength of your balance sheet grows. So they need to reflect that. Say we now have this asset that is going to, and it can assist them even on their borrowing capacity going forward. they need to also reflect in the financial statements, pre-audit financial statement, whether the cash that they're saying is unspent is actually there by the end of the financial year. And we want the municipalities to not invest conditional grants. Therefore, if we find that the cash put aside for unspent is sitting in a long-term investment, we then have a problem with that to say it perhaps means that there was never a plan to spend this money. Rather, it should be in a 3 months short term, because that it might mean that the money is being ring-fenced. The timelines, there was a question that was raised to say what is the Treasury doing together with COCTA in terms of the assessment of rollovers. Honourable Chairperson, we are currently, the whole of September month, we only have 2 days that we are not, that we are in our offices. Yesterday we were in Gauteng assessing these rollovers. It is a technical session. We read the letter through, we go through submissions, we go through all compliance. Today the team is in Limpopo. They are going through about, there's about 20 rollover requests from the province. In Gauteng yesterday, we went through 9 from the 14 municipalities. So you can clearly begin to see that almost everyone is asking for a rollover. In the Eastern Cape, we are going there next week. We've got about 26 rollover requests from their 41 municipalities. So we have the Eastern Cape and KZN. We've got 3 days each, set aside just to go through these rollovers that have been submitted to the National Treasury. So these are the time frames. We started from the 31st of August. Now, in the past, municipalities had said that we were taking longer to approve, and we had moved this process forward to the 31st of August, precisely because on that date, municipalities are required in terms of law to submit their pre-audit financial statements to the AG. It used to take us a year, Honourable Chairperson, to do that because we wanted to wait for the audited statement. We've moved because then there was another problem that led to underperformance to say the Treasury approved late. So we, from the year end, it takes 3 months, then we start with the process of the rollover assessment for the whole month. We are really not in our offices. We are in the, on the 2nd of October, we are then responding to them. So our last day, we're in Western Cape on the 29th of September. Then we have a weekend to finalize responses to in terms of rollover, so that municipalities can move with speed and be comfortable with our considerations. And the letter on the 2nd of October, it says the Treasury approves or reject. If we reject, we're also saying in that letter, please pay back the money that is unspent in terms of the Division of Revenue Act. By the 31st of October, we are then saying to municipalities, we have noticed that you have asked for a rollover for certain grants and not for others. So we're doing a consolidation of unspent. There are municipalities that are beginning to say there is no need to ask for a rollover, but they still have unspent. So in our tables, when we give the feedback later, you'll see that the total rollover is always not the same as the unspent. So there's an indication. So by the 31st of October, we then are saying to municipalities, the total unspent is sitting at this much. Last year, it was 2.4 billion. So we're hoping that it will reduce this year. And on that day, we also say to municipalities, you've got 14 days in which you can dispute or request a repayment arrangement. By the end of 14 days, if they don't come back to us, we then start with the process of offsetting the unspent conditional grants from against the equitable share. This is where, and obviously this process, the Minister of Finance sign off on this issue, and we then offset their equitable share. what becomes a problem there is that if you decide to offset, you must also protect MEEC. You need to then withhold MEEC, because if you release equitable, if you release MEEC and offset equitable share, then there's trouble. We don't think this is the best solution. We think we need to move deeper into where the problems are. If we have a leeway and we if we are authorized to do, but certain things are really housed within the councils themselves. These are just some of the indicators that will begin to say to us, is your approval supported by committed work on the ground? If municipalities have not talking to us throughout the year in terms of their monthly performance, we are worried. If they don't submit their pre-audit financial statements to us and to the AG, we actually don't know what to approve. If they don't accurately disclose their grants to say, I've received MEEC and I've spent this much in MEEC, it's a problem. If a municipality reflects expenditure of less than 50% for the whole year, we are saying, if you are going to approve an approval of 50%, are you not putting a burden on this municipality that could not deliver half of the allocation in the previous year? These are some of the indicators. We're also saying that if a municipality has been asking a rollover for 3 consecutive years, do you really want to approve for the 4th time? Why don't we just then say, can you focus on your New Year's allocation? Should you deliver, ourselves and COCTA would find a way to give you additional money to during the course of the financial year. I think these are just tables that my colleague spoke about, but perhaps if I can just take you through only this table. This table shows 2014-15 rollover as a percentage of allocation, and also the next table reflects unspent as a percentage of MEEC allocation for the period 2014-15, meaning 2 years ago. What has happened there is that we approved 4% of the rollover, meaning that should have been what was unspent, but the actual unspent became 7%, meaning there were other issues that were not part of the rollover that was actually approved there. This, I think, is my last slide, third last. The 2015-16 rollover, like I've indicated, we've already started. We are in full swing of the process. This I asked the team to just give us a brief of only on MEEC. So these are just the numbers that we have seen coming through as rollover requests. So from the 14 billion from the 14 billion MEEC of 2015-16, about 891 was submitted as a rollover currently. So as part of the other conditional grants that we are assessing currently, we are also assessing about 891. So a straight line mathematics should be able to say, is the 93% expenditure equated to this number? Perhaps not. So these are some of the challenges that we are encountering when we deal with these rollovers. Challenges, these are very, very close to COCTA's challenges. There's money, but there are no ready projects. Mopani is an example. Last year, they did not have committee members in the supply chain management unit. So if you don't have people to sit and go through the adjudication and the specifications, nothing will really happen. So this was, but MISA, I must say, we've seen a huge improvement, I must say, Honorable Chairperson, with the support of MISA. The municipality is beginning to really move out of the woods through their support. Again, projects that are not aligned to MEEC policy, inability to ring fence MEEC, that's a huge problem. We don't know how this would be resolved, because it takes the will of the municipality to really protect MEEC. We always say MEEC is an emotional program. It must be respected as such. Inconsistencies, and I think most of the issues were discussed, really. What are we doing? We think that we need to put our focus on in-depth monitoring on ready projects. We need to do proper assessment on the payment schedule. We need to assess whether this plan, whether this cash projection is informed by real issues on the ground. We are beginning to work very close. During the elections time, Honorable Chairperson, we were meeting on a weekly basis with COCTA just to make sure that if anything happens, we are ready. Every week, every Monday, we were sitting at COCTA and at National Treasury just to make sure that new municipalities that have merged and new ones, they are ready, they've got bank accounts, the processes are in place so that when the new council comes, we would have done our finance responsibilities in that regard. Maybe we need to start to think on saying to this municipality, you give us an invoice, we verify, then we pay you. Because we just have, sometimes we don't know where the money goes. Maybe that should be one of the options. Thank you so much, and apologies for taking long.
Thank you for giving us the correct perspective, whilst you apologize for taking too long. Yeah, what I think I will say outrightly from the chair is that there is some information that the secretariat of the committee, together with the budget office, may have to follow on. There are specific provinces that are underperforming. We'll want to convene such provinces and relate specifically to those areas. And also, we want to follow on the conversion of MIG allocation, obviously, it's based on problems. There's conversion because there are a number of problems, challenges that are highlighted. So we'll be very interested in terms of ensuring that we keep constant follow-up. I mean, the reason we are an appropriations committee, we need to diagnose the disease. Wherever there's deficiency, there's a disease, we need to have an interest because we deal with hard facts, figures, as they say, figures do not lie. So we are interested in what distortions comes as a consequence of not spending money where they are supposed to be spent. I mean, we are from not so long experiencing the harsh reality of conditions, very devastating in local communities as a result of the current socioeconomic situation. I mean, we don't have to lecture one another about the current economic outlook and its impact on our local communities. So I'm simply saying that to all the stakeholders, the reaction, the response of our committee, we're very much impatient when there are areas when there is non-expenditure or underspending of resources. I think we become so impatient on why the rise of such problems continually. So we really need to deal with these issues. In a way, I'm just saying we will have to reorganize and ensure that constantly there is stakeholders that we invite an account moving forward on some of the areas. So we'll do so. We'll not wait for an oversight once in a quarter go to a particular province, but we'll rearrange our program so that there is adequate time that members are able to deal with these things. Then members on the program, I know I'll be directed by members. We're supposed to listen to FFC just to give us the overview regarding this. That's the program that we have approved. So shall I move to the FFC and then allow you to make comments on National Treasury specific items, or we extend the period until 1:30? Half past one. If we extend until 1:30, it requires honorable members, their commitment and dedication. That's why we are here, members that have Treasury said, thou shall do as we say to the stakeholders here. So, Honorable Isaac, do you give me any indication to allow FFC?
Chairperson, I think let's engage National Treasury quickly, and we'll be very brief with the FFC. But I think this is of cardinal importance because the crux of the issues based on the presentation we had earlier, now you can see what's coming out of the washing machine from National Treasury, so I think we should engage National Treasury, and FFC will be quick. I mean, it's probably close to lunchtime, and so we'll cut it short.
No, that's not a good reason. No, I don't accept that. That's not a good reason. FFC will be quick. Everything else you said is important. National Treasury will be adequate time. Yeah, the reason that you give will be quick, approaching lunch. No, that's not the reason. Honorable Isaac? Honorable Dibier? Sorry?
My hand is up, sir.
Chair, we must not forget the briefing we received from the FFC regarding the submission the FFC made on the Division of Revenue 2017-18, their proposals. Some of the things we want to be addressed is in that briefing. We mustn't forget it. We are running to the end of the financial year. So I'm just sensitizing members. Thank you.
So you are saying, Honorable Shal, we need to find a creative way as we are convening the public hearing for FFC to discuss some of the aspects, because it will be a joint session with the National Assembly committees. And when we come back from constituency period, we are going to have this public hearing. You're saying that?
Yeah. It's a processing of the MTPPS.
Yes.
Dealing with the Division of Revenue amendments, I think there will be some.
That's okay.
Having this hearing, engaging the FFC, SALGA, etc. Even COCTA can come on that day of...
No, thanks. Thanks. Point made.
I'm just thinking aloud.
Yeah, your thinking aloud is helpful. Now, honorable members, I'm just saying beforehand, we will have to factor into that process stakeholders that are not adequately listened today, like FFC. It's not going to do justice because of the time pressure. Because of the time pressure. Because if we're not sitting, there's a sitting at 14 hours. That also impacts negatively on us. And it's not the case with the National Assembly today, but it is going to impact on us proceeding further. So we'll factor into this process when we have the public hearings that we are convening early. I think it's the first or second week of October when members come back from constituency period. Thanks. Can we take a few questions for Treasury? I see you. I recognize you. Honorable Gayla? Yes, recognize. Honorable Isa, can you make your point? There's a white envelope. I don't know how it disturbs members. Please focus. Don't try to read the agenda for the next meeting. Focus here.
Hey, Chairperson. Thank you again. Chairperson, if we can just move to page 4, or slide 4, let me call them slides, slide number 4 on the National Treasury's presentation. Thanks, I thought it was a detailed and a frank presentation. I think you were being very frank about the whole thing, and I'm very grateful for that. Thank you. It's nice to sometimes just have a transparent report where the facts are just put on the table. So thank you for that. Chairperson, with your permission, on slide number 4, the last bullet, accounting for MIG within the AFS and annual reports nematic consistent with the PFMA and MFMA. Now, with due respect, but, you know, if my memory serves me well, the Auditor General has time and time again, on many occasions, pronounced himself on that specific issue. On being consistent with the PFMA and MFMA. And it's a fact of life that this is just not happening on a broader scale throughout the municipalities in the country. What is our action plan in a nutshell? If you just briefly would say, what is our action plan on this? Because we just keep on rubber stamping. If we move to number 5, slide number 5,
Again, the last bullet, the National Department will administer the implementation of the grant and monitor performance. How successful has this been in the last two financial years? And why are you adamant yet again, because I read the same thing last year, with due respect. Okay, and then again, Chairperson, on slide number six, second last bullet, reporting the actual expenditure in respect of the MIG Schedule 5B allocation every month and every quarter, both by the DSOG and municipalities. Has this been measured? And what percentage of the municipalities nationally are reporting on this? If you don't have the reply right now, I mean, I would respect that, but I would like you to perhaps maybe give us then a report on that specific issue. Then, Chairperson, you know me, I like to go quick. Chairperson, if we move to slide number 15. Okay, now this is important, and I think it's interesting for all of us. Slide number number 15 it is, I think. Yeah. Slide 15. Now, you expressed yourself very well on this one, Cello, and I'm grateful for that. But I think, again, with due respect, somebody has got to take the lead here. We have to now come up with a concrete action plan here, because now one can begin to understand ongoing why the communities and businesses continue to suffer due to non-delivery. It's not that the funds are not there. So I'd like to know what action plan is in place, and definitely what are the timelines. The timelines are of cardinal importance here. So if we can get a report on that particular issue, I would be very grateful. If you don't have that available right now, that's understandable, perhaps. But if you know, we could get an email report too. It'll go quick. And then lastly, Chairperson, on slide number 19.
No, I'm not asking for an email report. This committee cannot be. Let's focus here.
Whatever, Chairperson.
Forget about side shows. Just raise specific issues so that we deal with the issues that are presented.
Side shows?
No, just focus on what is presented. I agree with issues that you are raising, but you are not the only member to discuss the report now. Take consideration of time, Honorable Isaac.
Yeah, so yeah. What do you say?
Can you do so?
I'm lost. Calm down, relax. Let's just get to the crux of the matter here. Let's go to slide number 19. Sorry, Chairperson, I think Louis is confused, he's hungry. Chairperson, slide number 19, bullet number 4. When do we get a detailed report on this? And as the Chairperson says, the committee must get a report on this. So my question is, when do we get a report on that? Because I think next year, with due respect, Chairperson, next year might be too late for us to get a report on that. And with the time frames, I'd like to see something happening this year. Chairperson, thank you again.
Thanks very much. Honorable Mr. Mashaba, I think you are noting specific questions. Obviously, there's a context within which some of the issues relate to. There's framework. PFME sets a framework of the regularity of reporting and so forth, and which we are acquainted as members. So we need to just speak on specific issues of information, just add information on the questions. Honorable Gaila?
Yeah. Let me first of all welcome the presentation. Welcome the presentation from Treasure. It's just a few clarities from Treasure and then a follow up on COPTA. The first one if you have, what do you do in the case of big projects, which are multi-year projects, which maybe it will take 3 years or so? Can you just explain me on that? Then, secondly, slide number 10, bullet 3 from the bottom, regarding capacity with the municipalities. If the local municipality has no capacity, then you say that you will use the district municipalities. What if the district municipality does not have capacity? Then what do you do? Then the presentation by COCTA, slide number 22. There are those challenges, the lack of capacity to manage and monitor project by project managers, appointment of service provider or contractor who cannot deliver late payments of service providers. Can you maybe gel into that? What's your feeling regarding that? And getting to COCTA, one is happy that you're saying you're assisting the local municipalities with, I think, MICA, with engineers. That is welcome. But where my problem is, for instance, I'm from the Eastern Cape. There's one project that you've done when you cross the Kai Bridge on your left-hand side, which was done by your engineers. The specification that was done there was very good because it included the local SMMEs. Now, would you consider, because one of the policies of the government is to create work, create skills, and also upgrade the local SMMEs, would you consider that some of the big projects get broken down, not for subcontracting, because subcontracting is that those SMMEs are dependent on that major contract. Sometimes they are underpaid. So in other words, then, they do not have the growth space. There's no growth space, and the government says there must be a growth space for them. So would you consider doing that? But your engineers, in their planning, of their specification, they ensure that those contracts are broken down so that you accommodate these. That will then also help the country, because when you go to those local municipalities, we have a problem. They have a problem because they cannot accommodate their SMMEs, which is government policy, in terms of skills and so and so. And if you note in most of the local municipalities, you find that one service provider, especially in the construction sector, has been there doing the work for the last 5 years. So would you consider that as a COCTA? Thank you.
Thanks, Honorable Mtlashubin.
No, thanks.
Mandel.
No, thanks. I'll be very short, Chairperson. Maybe I should also start by acknowledging the presentation, that it was really informative. Chair, when you started, you know, you were isolating issues and saying specifically that there are certain issues that the committee would need to make a follow-up on. And that impressed me a lot because there are, of course, issues here. Some of us have been in this environment would understand best issues that are raised here and the frustrations that have been expressed, especially at the level of the municipalities, the real coalface of service delivery. Now, year in and year out, we get reports, in particular, the issue around Makam Dirumlem. There is only one solution to that problem, because I come from that area. If we can instill a culture of consequence management, because the portfolio, the Select Committee on Local Government also visited that area. I know the whip of that committee sitting next to me was the whip of that committee. Now, you've got a bloated structure there, people who just sit under trees doing nothing, and we've got to do something about it. Because this problem will recur year in and year out. So I am proposing that it be one of the municipalities that we pay special attention to and have this problem resolved for once and for all. I would appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Honorable Zimande.
Thank you, Chair. even pointed for the for my past sins on Ngaka Moody, Chair, and take note, Chair, as well of the presentation. It was quite worthwhile. Chair, the just a question on conversion that I have, because I've heard Mr. Mashaba kept saying, what year they are in, we are now 2 years, with that municipality, Makana, Mopane, and that. So my question, Chair, is that what are the contractual situation? What is the contractual situation with this conversion? Do you have are they time bound? Is for as long as Makana needs this thing, it's going to happen, because it's quite a long. It's been from Section 139B twice and plans, turnaround plans submitted and Treasury accepting them, and now with the conversion on the MIG funding and this and that. So for how long does it last, or it takes to really conclude whatever conversion agreements and the implementation thereof? And then the other one, just as a note, is this the to and fro on that Fezile Dabi and Mafube, really. But who has the ultimate say in terms of the legislation and the, are these things just mutual? Is it to do with you can't, it's my terrain, and therefore it's only when I agree that this, because there's delays, and if the principle is to deal with avoidance of suffering of communities as a result of whatever, at formal structural levels of governance and execution of projects. So who has the ultimate responsibility with this? I know that Mr. Mashaba said that they are almost having an SLA, but there's been two SLAs. I mean, the issue really is to which contractor. I like mine, and you, and I've got a relationship with this and that. But who then has the ultimate responsibility legally to then have a final say on the matter? I think it would help us, Chair, because it sounds to me as an untenable situation where people can just wage a standoff at the expense of anything. I think it's something that we should be concerned about. And Chair, again, I think I would like also to echo what you were saying in terms of us having to look at this, because really, some of the things, it just sounds so unbelievable, Chair. You have the money, you have everything, but no warm bodies to work. I mean, honestly, so you don't deliver, because you have no people in the supply chain, imagine. Really, really, Chair, not in this day and age, that we have to be seized with such what I would think that it's, to me, supposed to be minor problems. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. There are specific questions. Obviously, there are municipalities which members are saying they are common denominators. They have been plagued by problems for quite some time. We may be interested in their budgets and how expenditure is conducted, particularly in relation to these projects, because they make very important interventions and they bring valuable assets to the community. So, Treasury and COCTA, you can comment.
Thanks, Honourable Chairperson, and thanks to the Honourable Members for mostly really in the main some of the comments that were raised. and then of course questions. Honorable Chairperson, to the extent that I could, I would respond to some of the questions, and some that may need a proper report, we may need to do that, especially issues on the brief on the offsetting and the finalization of 2015-16 rollovers. But also I have here with my colleagues from COCTA. I must say that it's always a challenge, and I don't know why is it like that. It's always a challenge to talk about good things. The fact that we're only talking about three municipalities begins to suggest that there's quite a number of other good ones that naturally, I don't know if it's in the human nature. We don't really talk much about the good ones, but I must say that there are good municipalities that are performing well, even in the Northwest and Limpopo for that matter. So I thought that I must just raise that. But secondly, we work hand in glove with the Department of COCTA. And over the years, for the past 2-3 years, really, I must say that we've gotten very close on how we do our work, and just to support one another. But I will just zoom in quickly, and some of the questions I will leave them to my colleagues at COCTA, especially the technical ones that deals with infrastructure type of planning and all that. The issue of slide number 4 in terms of what is the reaction or what is the plan in terms of how we see things, the issue which said that year in, year out, the AG raised this matter that the AFS and annual reports must be consistent with the prescribed legislation, PFMA and MFMA, really. We think that where we are coming from, there has been a huge improvement. If we look at the report by the AG 6-7 years ago and today, just for that comparative analysis, there's been a huge improvement. Firstly, just on the number of municipalities that would submit in time the pre-audit financial statements, that has improved quite a lot. In fact, provinces like Northwest, they actually have a session where they declare financial statements submitted on time on the 31st of August. Of August every year. It's a routine matter. The provincial treasury and COCTA is doing a great job just to make sure that municipalities are submitting on time, just to assist the AG. It's the same thing in Northern Cape and other provinces. So perhaps the issues would then be the deeper issues, what's in the financial statement. But the compliance issues, we're really seeing the fruits. And that gets seen when you go through the AG's report as compared to what it used to be. It continues to be a huge challenge for us to ensure that we comply with legislation, especially because sitting here as departments, we've got different roles. The Treasury does not have roles to appoint the CFO. It does not have a role to convene council to sit and require that monthly report be tabled and that they talk about grants. We can only give guidance. And this is the same thing with the Department of Cooperative Governance. They are called Cooperative Governance, and their role is oversight, overview, and support. So, and sometimes it's a pity that they are here and we don't have other sector departments. For example, when you talk about water and sanitation, because in terms of the MIC policy, 72% of the function of the MIG policy is for water. So that begins to say we need to work very close. But I must say we have become more closer. But again, there remain challenges that still need to be resolved with municipalities. The issue of how successful is the administration of the grant implementation, I think from the Treasury's point of view, we've been working with COCTA. We've fought tooth and nail from the Treasury's point of view to get COCTA additional funding for support. They have now grown their unit through the support that we've assisted. And I must say we're beginning to see the results of MISA and their role.
if you check on Skukuni, if you check on Mobani, so we are beginning to hear some of the good things. But I think these are early days because this thing just started, and we are quite very hopeful going forward. Has the month quarterly reports by DCOC real, and what are the percentages of non-compliance? I reflected a slide presentation here which was showing on the compliance, this slide. If you look at that slide, it will really show you that the reports, the monthly reports are coming quite, we are very impressed. We almost have got everything that comes through. The sign-offs, also, if you can see the second last line on the very, very bottom, you will see that it says conditional grant sign-off, documents received, submitted, signed. You can see 211, 241, 240. So these are where accounting officers are signing off on these reports. So if the accounting officer, the MM, says, this is not my report, we can pull out his signature. We actually have it. And we publish this on our website. We actually have a signature to say, MM, you have signed for these two numbers, and they are both coming from you, so we don't know what does that mean. But if you look at the electronic unsigned information that you also verify, really we are receiving everything. So, again, like I said when I said in my presentation, that we now have a new problem. What's in the everything that we receive? But the compliance, we are quite very happy, and we do the same thing, because the Act is prescribed in such a manner that both COCTA and the municipality must report to us. And this should be one information, because COCTA would have consolidated MIC at their level, but municipalities are then giving us a report which is MIC and other grants. We've got in roughly 24 grants that we're looking at. So that should be in the main one number. It is still a huge problem. The system is designed that it reconciled each other, but so far it's a huge problem. And I presented in this house some few months ago, I think in May, that there are many problems that can just cause the disparities. One which is cash basis of accounting reporting, accrual basis of accounting, reporting, just that can result in the disparities. We have the technical director in a municipality that is responsible for MIC as his program, against the CFO who is responsible for the money that pays for the program. If the technical director delivers on the program, for him is performance, because the job is done. But he's got this invoice to give to the CFO to pay. Now, if the CFO delays for more than 30 days, the technical director has delivered. The work is done. It's just not been paid for. COCTA spoke about it to say businesses are struggling because on the 30 days versus 120 days. In our other responsibilities, Treasury, where we report on the budget, you'll see we normally talk about outstanding creditors for more than 3 months and so on, so against the debtors. So those would begin to tell you that work done is not paid for. So those are some of the challenges. What action plan do we have on slide 15, which is the issue of Fezile Dabi and Mafube, and the timelines? When we started with this issue last year, we met in Treasury with everyone, and it was agreed that because Mafube has been using MIG money for other things, but work is being done, we would like to protect this money and not take it away. We would like to use the stopping and reallocation process to still support Mafube. So we'll take the money away from Mafube and give it to the district. So it's still the same space. Nothing has changed. Now, in that meeting, there was a clear consensus that everyone in the house agreed that this money must go to the district.
also everyone in the House agreed that the work to be done by the work already done by locals should just be, there must just be progress, not to change. So we asked COCTA in the province and provincial treasurer. They said, in terms of what we've observed, we think that what the district must do must just be a post office, just to say it in a very soft way. They must just assist to get the money through to the contractor. But upon close inspection by the district, because when they left, I remember that this Roka, we actually afforded them a table in Treasury to say, you will write this letter here before you go, so that when you leave here, we agree. So they agreed, we gave them a table, they said, and they started to write on the agreement. But as we sit, we've not yet seen the signed SLA. So it was written in Treasury, but the signed SLA hasn't been. So, but we could tell in the meeting that the district was saying that we don't want our credibility to be affected by these contractors that you've appointed. But the COCTA and provincial treasurer were saying, we think that you must just carry on from where they left off. So now the year has ended, because that money was talking to 2015-16 MIG. The new MIG allocation, which is informed by DORA and the policy for MIG, has allocated money to Mafube, because it's a formula issue. So the money is now sitting with Mafube. We have not yet released anything, because the plan is to move it away, because the problem hasn't been resolved. So this is, so the timeline would really be on an annual basis. Reason for that is that as MISA and the team is supporting, we should not forget the main responsibility of money following function. The funds still belong to Mafube in this case. The other question is on slide 19, which talks about a detailed report. I think when we are done, we'll prepare a report for the House. But it's always a norm. On the 31st of October, once we have decided on who has received a rollover in terms of their commitments and who has unspent conditional grants, to the extent that we decide on the offsetting part, we then prepare a submission to the Minister of Finance to declare that the payment schedule of equitable share be amended, because equitable share is not sitting at the National Treasury, it's sitting at COCTA. So it's in COCTA's vote that we then prepare submission by the Minister of Finance to say, COCTA, can you not pay this money it is paying? So during that time, we will be, once the minister has signed, we'll be able to share with the House. But the final nail is going to be on the 1st of December, where the actual money would not go to the municipalities. So as soon as we receive the sign-off, which should be before the 1st of December, we'll share with the House in terms of the process. We have really moved from the 12-month period to do the offsetting. Hence, we're pushing very strongly for this month of September to finish all rollovers across all provinces. And there were three questions from Honorable Gayla. The first one, it says, what happens to multi-year projects? This one, Honorable Chair, I don't want to waste time. I think it's best that I allow the department to talk to it, because they are dealing with those issues. On my side, we would always say your project management skills or tools should allow you. When you do your Gantt chart, it tells you when should what happen. Then money should follow that function. Therefore, don't appropriate the outer year's allocation against the current year's MIG. But the team will talk to that, because there are dynamics that they are dealing with. The second one, it's an issue around what happens when the DM does not have a capacity. That's a difficult question. We are now resorting to the conversion. The allocation in terms of the DORA says money belongs to them. And every year in, year out, we are allocating money through to them. If they don't spend it, comes back, or else we then lose it.
we think that the conversion will assist in the interim. What it would do if it's done correctly, it will then deliver services on behalf of this municipality for the for 1 year. And when they are fined through the support by MISA, the next year's MIG allocation in terms of the formula goes back to the municipality. That should be able to assist. I think the issue becomes when the municipality is holding on to their project to say, this is our project we want to deliver. When we give them the money, they don't deliver. I think that's where the challenge is. Mopani has declared 150 million, that of their 400 million, they can only spend 250 million. We wanted to convert more, but we said, look, we work together here. You need to declare to us how much can you not spend. They said 150. So this is where we are moving. They think they are not ready to take up the remaining money. Our analysis suggests something else, but I don't think this is how we should run things. We need to engage and see what, because they are, MISA is supporting them both ways, on the conversion and also on the direct allocation. So really, we are all fighting for one thing, and we want it to work. The question on slide 22 of the COCTAS presentation, I'll leave it to my colleagues. There was a comment by Honourable Mutashuping on the issue to focus on Ngakamudiri. We really appreciate that. We said in many meetings, at some stage we sat with the MEC for finance in Northwest, and at the time she was also acting for COCTA, and we are betting we need support. In some meeting we sat with the Premier himself, where he called everybody in the house to read the Riot Act, but I think we need your support would really go a long way. And I think I've already elaborated what we think is the problem. The last one on by Honourable Nzimande, it's an issue around the what are the contractual obligations on DORA in terms of this conversion and how long it will last. I think this one for us it's a quick one. It's a yes thing. This money does not belong to the district. It belongs to the local. It needs to go back to the locals. But if they are not ready, whether if we don't take the money, it gets lost. If we give it to them, it still gets lost. So that's the challenge. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. I will respond to your question by Honourable Gayla regarding the splitting of contracts in such a way that they accommodate maximizing local economy. And let me concur and agree with you that infrastructure development is key to local economic development. And in a proposal that you are forwarding that we should consider, that projects should be split in packages, basically, not necessarily for subcontracting purposes, but split those in packages that can be implemented by local contractors. I do concur with that. However, that would need strong project and contract management. And in instances where MISA has got a presence in a municipality, definitely that would be possible. So we will, of course, note this and encourage our engineers who are involved with municipalities to consider this approach, but make sure that the contract and project management part of it is well taken care of, and providing support wherever it is necessary. It's a good approach in terms of how projects can be packaged for the benefit of the local economy, which is something that we are encouraging. But I think it's just a matter of giving it more focus now, such that it begins to yield some positive results for our local economy. Thanks.
Thanks so much, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members that have asked questions. I think the last part that my colleague has alluded on is we take note of that. It's actually happening in some municipalities. It's just to maintain a balance between the risk involved, because if you make two small pieces as well, it becomes you're sharing a risk amongst a lot of contractors with less capacity. So it needs a programming approach so that you give fewer that you can manage, and then they graduate, and then the others comes in, and so forth. So it's something that I think we, through the PMO, we'll have to really look at and develop a program as part of support. The issue about lack of capacity, lack of late appointments, slide number 22. I think in that we have alluded on the issue of the support that we're bringing in, but we have also indicated that there's quite a number of issues that leads to that. Part of which is planning, the other is supply chain, and out of that, we have got the support through the planning. MISA is assisting municipalities with regard to the planning part of it, and we're also trying as much, and we will need support from the members, as my colleague from Treasury has indicated, to have sector departments coming on board, because most sector departments tend to think that they are not part of the program, since the money is going direct to the municipalities, whereas the purpose of the grant was mainly to ensure that there is integration in terms of implementation thereof. But then the other issue, and this is something that is really critical to consider, the issue of the deep rural municipalities within these 27 district municipalities. The grading that is there, it is such that it is unable to attract the required expertise and skills. And that in itself may lead to us having a continuous support throughout, unless the whole issue of grading changes and be looked at, because that is where the demand is. And I think if the grading is the other way around, so that we can attract the necessary skills. The issue around conversion of to district municipality, I think colleague has touched on that. That is in that note that we consider the conversion through MISA and with assistance from DPSA as part of the stakeholders in the infrastructure development. The multi-year, which is the last question, project implementation. What is happening is whenever the project is planned, and Silo has touched on that as well, it is planned such that you plan it in phases, and each phase will be within a particular financial year, so that you are able to deliver and spend the money within that financial year. So it is allowed in the legislation to have multi-year. It's just a question of planning such that you spend and achieve certain milestone within a particular financial year. Thanks.
Thanks very much. No, I don't allow second bias. I gave you an opportunity to do so. Thanks very much for the responses. In areas where, in responding to the questions by members, you feel that something needs to be further elaborated, the secretariat will be available so that you can forward such information, then we'll circulate to members, as in responding, complementing the responses that you have provided. But I want, on behalf of the committee, to thank COGTA and National Treasury, as always, providing useful reports that are beneficial to the committee in its conduct of oversight. Out of this report, range of issues really will be taken forward by the committee, as I indicated. So thanks very much. And the stakeholders that came together with you, COGTA, MISA, SALGA. Do we have SALGA here? Okay. SALGA has got a very important engagement tomorrow. So which out of that engagement, I believe also it will be useful to engage with our committee. So it's a very useful engagement that will lead into some policy reflections. So I think everything that has been presented here will be used by the committee as such in terms of shaping our oversight and accountability as members of parliament to ensure that the executive does fulfill its undertakings. So now what we'll do, and FFC, we are going really to factor in our plan as I committed from the chair. So when we come back from our constituency period, because from next week members of parliament are not here, both houses, so will be when we come back from our constituency period that we shall take forward the public hearings that relates to a range of issues also from previous reports that we have received from the FFC. Our last engagement with FFC was a very fruitful one, and a very much that they has stimulated a lot of thinking in terms of the direction that the MTVPS will take and the recommendations that normally FFC makes. So thanks very much for your presence, and also, and members, you are released, all stakeholders, you are released. Orderly, so whilst members consider other business, like minutes. Members, there are two sets of minutes that has been circulated that relates to appropriation bill, and then the MIG rollovers. You recall it's not long that we dealt with the 2010 to 2015 financial years rollover on the MIGs. And the second report, set of report, relates to the FFC submission on division of revenue. So let's check the first report. Is the first page of the minutes capturing the record properly? And the second page, is the record captured? Yes, we are in, Honorable Zimbabwe, we are present. Honorable members, can I have an indication whether we approve this set of minutes? Honorable Isaac moves. Honorable Kaila second. Thank you. The second set of minutes, 6 September. Honorable Mutla Shuping says that the record of the minutes is okay, so we move for adoption. Honorable Mutara second. Thanks very much, honorable members. Thanks very much for your presence, honorable members, as always. And Honorable Charles wants to raise a matter.
Sorry, Chair, you refer to the white envelopes. Members, please read through the submissions for the land bank, the nominees. We're going to deal with it tomorrow, but it's only two. And look at the criteria. It's very important that we get the way forward after tomorrow's meeting. Thank you.
Thanks very much, honorable members. The white envelope is for reading. Getting yourself ready for tomorrow. Thanks so much. Thank you very much.
Today. What do you want from the What?